This is CliffCentral.com.
Hey, welcome to the Futurology Show right here on Cliff Central. We're in the studio together, guys. It's been a while, eh?
It has been a while. It's quite cool.
Yeah, all three of us in the same place at the same time.
You still look the same. I'm quite impressed.
Yeah, you guys have changed somewhat. That walking from on our new shoes has definitely done you guys well.
It has. It has.
I thought you were about to say I got fatter.
No, you're looking great.
I'm quite impressed.
Looking amazing.
You noticed. I thought I was wearing strimming. What's it, strimming?
Strimming?
Slimming stripes.
No, it's not. I'm feeling quite squashed where I'm sitting next to you here.
And that's good. So the three of us are in the same place, but the place is not the same.
No, it's not.
So we're at the MediaTek conference in Johannesburg. It's the it's Africa's biennial advanced media and entertainment technology event that happens right here at the Northgate Dome. This is my playground. So welcome,
guys. Literally, he has a boner.
Yes. this is like tech porn, bro.
This is where it's at. This is worse than tech porn for you. I've never seen you so excited.
I'm like a kid in a candy store, isn't it, Greg?
That's a bad analogy. I'm so happy for him because he's so happy.
That's terrible. I get to understand what we're talking about for the first time on the show. Yay!
It's quite scary, actually.
Yeah, well, we're at MediaTek, and there is so much happening in media, as we know. I mean, we always talk about the future of technology and how technology advances and changes the way things are, but it's not any more truer than in the media space. I mean, we're seeing VR and content really coming to the fore because of the technology available. So we're going to have a number of guests today. It's going to be a bit of a different show. Mm. We're going to have guests coming in. We've got the guys from Ross Video coming, telling us about how technology is actually enhancing broadcast. Mm. And we've got the guys from Avid coming, talking to us about how cloud infrastructure is.
That's my favorite topic.
Yeah, you know something about the cloud.
I'm excited.
And now in broadcast, it's not new. It's just we've started calling it cloud. And now everybody's like, oh, yeah, cloud. Why is TV taking such a... Why are you only picking up on it now?
Yeah.
So they're going to talk to us about what's happening in the world of cloud. Mm. And then finally, we'll wrap the show with Action Gear. We've got Warwick Kearns coming in from... He's the MD of Action Gear, just telling us about drones and GoPros.
That'll be cool.
Is that what's carrying over your head at the moment?
Exactly,
dude.
Yes. Without the safety net.
That's just the buzz of being here at MediaTek.
It's our own little aquarium that we have here in the MediaTek. But yeah, it's really cool to be with you guys. What have you been doing in the break? Like, seriously, where have you guys been? Anything interesting? Something nice?
We've been working.
Keeping the wheels of industry turning.
Well, we had a fantastic show last week.
We did.
I didn't listen to it, unfortunately.
I'm sorry.
It was our best show.
Because I was there.
How rubbish consultancies were.
Well, I will definitely follow the link to listen to it and check it out on the podcast. And if you haven't listened to it as a listener, then check out the podcast as well.
Super controversial. Super fun.
Was it really controversial?
No, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was. I actually got a lot of feedback on the show, and the guys really enjoyed it. It's a big question that a lot of agencies and consultancies are facing in terms of what's the future. So it was a very, very good show. Mm-hmm. And I was quite surprised. Vince actually had a sense of humor.
He is a funny guy, not just to look at.
No, he's exactly. Spot on, but.
Talking about funny looking guys, where I'm from, it's a very different perspective. Thanks, guys.
But listen,
yes,
Brett.
Yes,
you've spent a bit of time walking around here.
Yes.
Have you seen stuff?
Talking to everybody.
Yeah. Have you just seen stuff here that's just been mind blowing? Tell us about your experience just walking around here.
So, MediaTek being every 2 years, it definitely becomes that thing that you look forward to in Johannesburg.
I must say so, because when we walked in, the queue outside.
Yes.
It was 10 miles.
It was massive.
It was huge. It was really huge.
And when you're inside, you can see it's worth the wait when the guys get in here. I mean,
terrible.
If something has the ability to light up, if something has the ability to move or do something amazing or connect, it's happening here. This is definitely the place to be.
Serious vibe. It's a rock star show going on here.
Yeah, so from my perspective, I mean, I've been to about six MediaTeks. Mm. I think it's been going for quite a while, but I've been to about six of these things since before the digital revolution at SABC and there before the World Cup, and they were all in 2008. They were all saying, was it even 2008? No, it was even soon before that. Mm. They were saying by 2010 we're going
How
to have
old
all
are
of
you, Brett?
I look better than I am, actually. But they've been doing this for a while, and it's really great to see how the show's progressed and actually gotten better and grown in popularity over the years, which is testament to the guys that are organizing it. We were hoping to have Simon Robinson, the organizer, come join us just to tell us a bit more about the show, but it is a big show, as you can see, a lot to organize. So he's running around looking after.
Why is he
all the
waving
guys
at us outside the window?
Oh, is that in there? Oh, no. But yeah, I mean, everything from virtual reality spaces. I mean, there's guys playing Fruit Ninja in the corner. I think Gareth was try and
The time slice.
And we're going to try and do that afterwards. We'll post that as a follow up for our picture on the show. But there's time slices, there's AR, there's VR, there's a huge amount of tech going into things like virtual studios, which we're going to get the guys from Ross to talk to us about. All driven by gaming technology. And we spoke to Sam the other day at Icon about how gaming technology is driving a lot of this stuff. And
super cool lady.
Fantastic. And that's a great show. I mean, if you missed the show at Icon, I think that was a really, really great show. Also, slightly controversial with some of the crowd questions we had.
But it was super geekdom as well. Delved into the kind of the culture of gaming, and it goes beyond gaming. It's also board gaming, right? So that was fantastic. Anyway,
exactly.
We're losing track as usual.
We meander.
Quite a queue of people. Shall we start getting these guys
in? We should probably get them in, yeah. Let's see if the guys from Ross are available. And we'll get Simon Hawkins in here. And I can tell you all about what it is. But the first time I met Simon was in last year at IBC. So IBC is the International Broadcast Conference that happens in Amsterdam. Every year it happens. And it's 55,000 delegates go to that event, and it's great to see a version of that happening here in Johannesburg, where we've got local business and global partners coming together and collaborating to say, let's make the TV industry and the broadcast industry and media industry and the entertainment side of it just so much better. And we really aren't third world victims in this country that we're in, because we've got these partners, and guys are striving to make innovation really happen for us here, which is
Really feels like Brett's getting back into the swing of philosophy again.
I just keep talking and I don't ask questions.
Where am I going with myself?
well, I just look at his t-shirt
and it says
it all.
Draft Vader.
Nice. we don't have a draft tap yet.
No, it's a bit weird having it. We've done a couple of some amazing pre-records with some guests over time, and we get to share some beers with the guys. Now we've just got some really awesome coffee.
We've got someone sitting in the studio.
So Simon Hawkins from Ross Video has joined us. Thank you so much. You know how microphones work, yeah?
I'm just wondering how close I need to get this thing, because we're in this little box. I'm imagining this is not the best environment for you guys.
No, this is cool, man. This is really cool, but I'm worried about you, Simon, because you're worried about how close you're getting to the mic there. But you've got three name tags on you. Who are you, actually?
Well, I'm really Simon Hawkins, but one of my friends here got me a pass that says Simon Horkinos, so that's my Greek cousin.
Oh, right.
So I'm sort of masquerading in case.
Simon Hawkinos from Rossi Video.
Just hold them up so I can take a picture and I'll share it.
It's just so you can really identify as that Emir.
Exactly.
So the first time we met was a while back. I think it was probably at Amsterdam we met.
IBC,
we're glad to have you in Johannesburg.
Yeah, cheers, man. It's really cool. And it's cold.
It is cold. Yeah. You didn't expect that, did you?
No, it's a surprise.
Go to Africa! 9 degrees.
Yeah, I know. England's like actually warm, so I came here and I've got like shorts and stuff. No, I'm not going to get used to
it. Oh, you're going to have to come back in the summer. It's it's a lot better. But Simon, you're from Ross Video.
Yeah.
A couple of episodes ago, we were talking to the guys from gaming, in the gaming world.
Okay,
talking about
how
gaming technology has really started to advance and GPUs are really starting to help with real-time graphics. And Ross Video have really adopted a lot of that in their virtual spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. I think part of the reason for that is that the guy that develops our graphics platform is this Dutch guy called Bas, and he's an absolute genius, right?
Yeah.
But this guy saw the power of GPUs early on and started putting them into broadcast equipment. So he was like, I can see how much these games are doing, like how many polygons they're putting on the screen. Why can't we use that same technology and bring broadcast graphics right up to the front? So he did that, and now we're using top-of-the-line NVIDIA GPUs in our graphics
engine. Oh, awesome.
Which is very cool. Yeah. So they can render tons and tons
though,
of
right?
stuff. It's not too bad, you know, because it's still off-the-shelf hardware. So we're using like GTX 1080s and stuff. So they're not crazy expensive compared to proprietary broadcast hardware. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But the other knock-on effect is that you just kind of then start to get yourself into the gaming world and all the other stuff that's connected to that. And part of that relationship we built was with a company called the Future Group.
Yeah.
So these guys are based in Norway, and they saw the opportunity to take like a traditional virtual set and then make something really new entertainment-wise. Because virtual sets have been around in the industry for ages, but typically for like a cost-saving thing. So you can have virtual sets that can be reskinned.
And it was a dead giveaway when you could see it. It was like, that's a green screen.
Yeah. So I think the industry now is looking for the next level.
Yeah.
And the next level is going to be like a combination of virtual studios and interactivity. So the Future Group does this show called Lost in Time, where they build a semi-practical set. So there's like physical objects in the set and props and stuff. So they have like a cannon that you can fire and like bits of wood that you can walk across, but it's all in a green box.
Yeah.
And they're using our robotic cameras to track the position in this virtual world.
That sounds cool.
It's so
it's
cool,
a
man.
Bit like Brett Sinclair's brain.
What, squirrels?
Squirrels going all over the place.
Just a crazy virtual world.
Yeah. Yeah. No, just a big blank space until something interesting gets filled.
Green space, you know what I mean?
It's so cool, though, because you have these the contestants, they interact with objects in the studio, but then that triggers like an event in the virtual space. So he goes up to this big physical cannon, pushes the button, and then it fires
in
the cannonball
out
in the virtual space. And the other thing is, they're doing this live, so they're not doing it pre-recorded. They're doing it live, and then they're getting the public to tweet in and like actually impact the environment that the player's playing in.
That's wild.
It's super cool.
But now, we're talking about virtual spaces.
Yeah.
With, and you said robotic cameras.
Yes.
But we're at MediaTek. Now, people, not everybody knows this wonderful world of media and broadcast. Yeah. So maybe just tell us, where does Ross come from? Where are you going?
So Ross is one of the few privately owned companies in the broadcast industry, and it's a family company. It was started by a guy called John Ross back in the 70s, and it's currently run by David Ross.
Yes.
And it's wholly owned by David Ross and the staff, which is really cool. So I'm a part owner, which is
brilliant.
Great. Sit in the AGM.
Thanks for joining us today.
Your esteem just climbed. That's right. Yeah, it's like 0.0001%, but it's still
That's why you have that chair.
And it means that we're able to do some stuff that some of the other big, you know, venture-backed companies or publicly held companies can't do.
A little bit more agile.
Yeah, okay. And David Ross has been really good about purchasing lots of different companies over the years, and his big thing is continual growth. So we've had like 25 years of continual growth every year, amazing in this industry.
That's incredible. Especially if you're a shareholder, that's very cool.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I should have bought them 25 years ago. But yeah, and part of the stuff that he's done is he realized that there was not that much cool stuff going on with virtual studios in the TV world. So he's bought a bunch of different companies that in the end have given Ross a complete end-to-end virtual studio solution. Wow. So that's stuff like robotic cameras, it's stuff like graphics, stuff like tracking systems, and all these little bits and bobs that go together to make a virtual studio. And so now people are coming to us and they see like the demos that we do, and they're like, oh, can we just have that, please?
Ship it down.
And that's really cool, because in the past it was a real pain. You had to go to like 10 different manufacturers. They all argued with each other about why stuff didn't work and all that kind of thing. So what we're saying is, come to us, we can do a like turnkey studio, like virtual studio in a box kind of thing, which is really cool. And that's one side for the TV, but then on the other side we're doing all this stuff with virtual gaming and with esports as well, which is another side.
Yeah.
And all these same technologies wrap into all those different applications, which is really cool.
It is cool. I mean, Ross boasts the widest range of products and services in the broadcast space as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's lots of companies that are buying all kinds of different things, but Ross is really, really focused on production.
Because you can't say end-to-end unless you can actually do end-to-end.
That's right. Yeah, so we have cameras now, so everything from the back of the lens, pretty much. After the back of the lens, we can do most of that stuff for you.
That's fantastic.
Which is really, really cool, yeah.
And, I mean, I know a lot of this stuff, so I'm probably going to just go like, oh yeah, virtual sets, that's great, tracking systems, amazing. Do you guys have any questions around virtual sets?
I thought you said virtual sex. So,
I suppose you probably touched that industry once or twice.
As I was saying, Brett's mind in a virtual world.
So yeah, Brett Sinclair's microphone's off now.
Well, I suddenly saw all the really cute girls outside of the pot here just running.
So really, Simon, it's just you and me.
Easily distracted over there.
Well, we got the squirrel rocker in the corner. Yeah. But the great thing again is that you keep innovating. As a company, Ross continually innovates. So yes, you've got virtual sets and you've got video switching.
We've got all that traditional hardware stuff, but the things that are really interesting now are the different applications. So like Mark and myself, Mark's standing next to me just looking over.
Mark Cook, hey, how you doing?
There
good,
he is.
Mark, hello.
he's been really helping push esports stuff.
Yeah.
And for me as a gamer, it was really cool to be able to get into stuff like within my job that I'm doing at home as well, so it's very cool.
Yeah.
So we've been working with some companies in the UK and Germany to put together like real TV productions for esports.
Yeah.
So now what we're going to start seeing on the telly is going to be like proper sport style productions.
Wow. Okay. I suppose your camera angles are phenomenal, right?
Yeah. Well, it's crazy, right? Because you have in esports, you have this whole virtual world inside the game, which these guys can have free roaming cameras and zoom around and watch the game like they're in there watching the sport. And then you have these stadiums full of crazy fans screaming and shouting, and millions of cameras because there's so many people involved. Like the opportunity for creating really cool looking productions is fantastic.
So I mean, I'm always fascinated with the intersection of hardware and software.
Yeah.
And it really feels like although you're providing hardware, most of this is a software driven world, right?
Absolutely. And these guys have come up with some amazing like ways around not using broadcast equipment in the past. So they're super clever guys that have used IT technology to basically put together a TV production. But then we've been able to walk in and go, hey, you know, like that thing that takes you like five PCs and is really painful, you can just press one button.
Yeah, amazing.
So we're introducing them to broadcast stuff which is basic for us, but for them is like a revelation, because all of a sudden they can focus on making cool content rather than like fighting with the systems that they're using. It's pretty cool, yeah.
Now, I was just going to say, I mean, you're doing some pretty interesting and cool stuff now. What really excites you about what's coming down the road then?
So I think this interactive gaming stuff from a content point of view is going to be really cool. The stuff these guys are doing is just kicking off now, but they will syndicate this across all kinds of different stations, all kinds of different platforms. So I think interactive TV is going to be really, really cool. And I think also...
Not video on demand, interactive.
Yeah, interactive.
I was just going to say, explain that a bit.
Live interactive television. So one of the things that is really important for TV content providers is to provide live content. It's the best way to get advertising revenue, to get eyeballs on the screen.
For sure.
Because people can watch like recorded content pretty much anywhere. The drive for them to log on at 9 p.m. and actually watch that show is not there. They can miss it, they can watch it any other time. So the only way to drive eyeballs onto the screen is by having live content that happens live then and there.
You're kind of like a sports event or something
exactly.
more?
Yeah, exactly. So treating all these things like a sports event.
Okay.
So things like The Voice and X Factor and that kind of thing, they exist because TV companies needed to drive eyeballs to the screen.
Yeah.
And they needed live content that was compelling to lots of different people. Because sport is often compelling to quite a small, a certain group of people, right? So I think it's really cool that now there's all these other types of content, and that includes like, you know, any kind of reality type of TV show, any contest or anything like that, where there's live stuff happening that people feel I need to see it, and I need to see it live. And that same thing can happen now with game shows, which previously were usually recorded.
Yeah.
But now with this idea that you can be watching a game show that's happening in this virtual space, but looks real to you on the television, or maybe fantastical.
With real
people in the game. Okay. Yeah. But maybe in like really fantastical environments. But then you can send tweets in and like build up a poll or something. Should the guy take this route or take this route? And then the poll comes in, the answer comes in straight away, and they go the way that
the power of television.
It's very cool.
Throwing it forward and thinking about the interactive broadcast mechanism, just because we're broadcasting it onto a TV screen at the moment, cool, but what about the concept of broadcasting it into a virtual reality environment that you're actually playing in, yet you've created this live environment.
Well, I think this is a great time to talk about Street Fighter.
Absolutely. So
Street Fighter.
Yeah. No so ways. This is the next step. Is that not only could you know the technology could take us into a place where not only are you just watching it on a flat screen, but you're watching like VR, like you're in the space as well, which is going to add that whole extra layer to it. And we're doing some stuff with esports where they had a Street Fighter tournament, and we were actually like injecting these 3D renders of the Street Fighter characters into the studio space where everybody else is. So people are like interacting with these giant Street Fighter models. It's so cool. Yeah.
We'll tweet that out shortly.
Yeah, you've got the link to that.
The link to that, yeah.
And like this type of technology, I think, can really go a long way. And the next step, as you say, is bringing the audience closer to that action as well.
That is tremendous.
Very cool.
And I mean, it doesn't make sense that gaming should get us to a point where broadcasts can start to be enhanced, but gaming just stops all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I think that interactivity that gaming has always provided, plus the technology that it's using to provide it, is something that's going to really impact a lot of the future. I mean, for years, we've always looked down at, like, kids playing games and gamers. I mean, like, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. But look at the impact that it's having, the technology that it's driving.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at some of the leagues that companies like ESL are doing now.
Yeah.
There's so much interest in those. They can get huge crowds to these events, and they want to ramp up the look and feel so that it's appealing to a much wider group.
Yeah,
of course. And they're going to be able to do that with some of the tech that we're working on.
And we've spoken about MediaTek and some pretty high-level stuff with broadcast and all that stuff as well, but you guys don't just deal only with broadcasters. I mean, the nice thing about the technology is making things more accessible to the likes of houses of worship and to schools and all that kind of stuff. So tell us about who else do you guys focus on? And also, where would we have seen some of the ROS Video stuff being used? Because it's probably so seamless, you don't even know that it's...
Yeah, good question. So we're working, yeah, churches is a really big one for us in the US.
Yep.
And that's something that we're looking at now in Africa.
Churches.
The market, yeah.
Churches.
So yeah. These guys are doing full-on TV-style productions, you know, as well as in-church productions where they have big screens and they're sharing content on.
So religion's truly a business now.
Absolutely. Right? There we go. Yeah, big business.
Has it not always been like
that? L. Ron Hubbard said, you want to get rich, start a religion.
There you go.
Yeah.
The other thing is corporate, another place to get rich.
Yeah.
And these guys are starting to want to do, like, it's kind of like just really super high-end teleconferencing.
Mm.
But oftentimes it's not just speaking between different departments, but it's like interacting with their staff. So like some of these big companies like Fidelity, they're able to create shows that will tell their staff about what's going on, you know, and how the market is going at the moment, what they're doing to try.
Actually, we do that at the bank. We use MultiChoice's broadcast channels.
Yeah, there you go.
And every time our CEO speaks, we actually broadcast it across every single branch.
Yeah.
On MultiChoice's broadcast channels.
Yeah,
I mean, it's fascinating,
it's there.
Right?
It's there. That infrastructure exists. Yeah.
And everybody wants to get involved, and they want to bring the quality up. The other place where you see a lot of Ross stuff, which is really cool, is big live events.
Yeah.
So things like the Oscars and the Emmys and Grammys, like we do pretty much all the graphics for those in the US.
For those events.
Yeah. So every time you see like all these crazy graphics going on at those events, that's usually driven by Ross Expression, which is our CG.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
We're watching all the fruits of the Ross.
Absolutely.
End-to-end solution. That's fantastic.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're having a bit of a revolving door session today, so
where we get kicked out.
As soon as you get. But thank you so much for your time.
Cheers, guys. We'll chat soon.
Cheers.
Bye.
I now understand why you get so excited.
I mean, this is
about all the stuff.
Well, you guys talk about stuff that I've been dealing with for like the last sort of things, and we've got our nose right to the plate of the fruits of a lot of this tech change.
Yeah.
And true, as I said, as one guest leaves, another guest arrives, and we'll let him settle down for a bit. But we're going to go from graphics and how graphics are changing through gaming technology and broadcast spaces, and then some of the places we've seen, to the next innovation in broadcast, which is cloud.
Mm.
Now, we've got a representative with us from Avid, EMEA, Thomas Lebreton.
Oui.
Yeah,
well done.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, good day.
I'm not even going to try.
Tom?
No.
It's French, so.
But
if you translate it, it means the British, so.
Or the Brit is on, which is. We'll take that if it works as well.
Was that a bad joke?
It was fine. That was fine.
Yeah.
So, again, I've met Thomas in IBC in Amsterdam as well. It's just a bigger version of MediaTek, but there's some great stuff happening at MediaTek. Are you impressed with MediaTek?
Yes.
You visit the summer?
Yes. It's the second time we were there in 2015 also, and it's quite impressive.
It's quite a change from 2 years ago.
Yes.
It's a lot more together, a lot more people.
Well, what are the big changes? You mean in technology or just in terms of quality?
I think both. I think technology has had a huge change.
I think you see much more virtual studio, the lights, a lot of drones, cameras, a lot 4K, a lot of things are changing.
A lot of what's driven our guest choice today. So we've got Ross Video doing the virtual reality in the augmented space using gaming graphics. We've got some lighting technologies changed because of LED becoming huge advancements in technology there. So lighting has become brighter and smaller and cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting good things from there. But then the use of cloud. And I think that's where I want to get to. Now, a lot of people might not know about Avid, but a great excerpt from your website, Avid, is that Avid goes and says that we're born storytellers, and I think that's true whether you're an Avidian or you're a human.
Yes.
We're born storytellers, and I just want to read an excerpt from your website. Story has always been about people together. Stories engage us, they inform us, they enlighten us. As long as there are people, there will be stories, and I think we agree with that.
Beautiful. Yes. Love that.
And as long as there are ideas to share, there will be storytellers. So Avid helps creators to tell their stories by providing the tools needed to create, manage, store, distribute, and monetize their content. So these are the tools, the NLEs, the non-linear editing platforms, and all of the bits that help you craft your product. So you don't just shoot it in a camera and then put it to YouTube. You need to craft it using some sort of editing software or graphics packs and stuff. So Avid have provided that to the industry and to prosumers and consumers alike. And they've gone one step further with releasing Avid Cloud, and you guys are in the cloud now?
Yes. Like you say, I think we come from the creation side. The idea was for the Oscar, 100% of the movies in the Oscar are created on Media Composer or Pro Tools, our two main editors. And now we want also to make this available to everyone. So
yes.
There is two free versions,
oh,
but
cool.
also into the cloud. So the cloud meaning more collaborations, more availability.
Okay.
So we realized that the market is really growing fast.
Yes.
You have more device, more content creators. Like we discussed earlier, there is many more. Everyone can create, and now you need more space also for the content to be stored.
Exactly.
And available and distribute.
The processing power just to be able to compose it.
So massive. Yeah.
Right.
So from that, we try to make our workflow and our solution more available to everyone, and also more flexible depending on the workflow, because we know that not everyone is using only Avid, so we are trying to open our platform for that to be available on the cloud, but also on premises. Hybrid, you can have both. Also.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think one of the big things about MediaTek is that it's an amazing thing for the eyeballs to come here and just take a look at all the lights and all the cameras and all the things that are happening. But it's the iceberg mentality. I mean, it's the bit that you see when it gets to the fruits of it, the content produced.
It's very cold.
Yeah, it's very cold. Thanks. Depends. I mean, it's quite warm in the studio.
Yeah.
But you look at the iceberg, you only get to see the stuff that you, as a content consumer, you're only seeing the bits that have been created. Behind the scenes, we've got all of these things that are playing a part. And Avid are with Pro Tools. I mean, if you're a music producer, Pro Tools is one of the preeminent softwares used in creating the albums that we listen to, whether it's iMusic or Snapify or Spotify or any of those things.
Snapify.
We can use whatever fire you want on your hi-fi.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of the stuff happening. I think the important thing is to try and highlight where you guys exist with how you're engaging with consumers now, because there's been a huge amount of professional use of Avid, so your music producers and your broadcasters, your television studios, but with the dawn of the ubiquitous mobile phone, everybody is now a content creator. And this is what, I mean, Brent, you and I have found ourselves on stages at different times talking about how we're all producers of content. This is now about crafting that content. And our next guest as well is Warwick Kearns, who's going to be talking about drones and GoPros and how they're getting us to new places. But Avid is doing an important job in not only dealing now with professional TV broadcasters and stuff, but actually getting down to the consumer level and allowing consumers, the guys with the iPhones, the guys with the GoPros, and saying, have this. It's what the professionals use. Have it.
Yes. As we could see at the NAB, for example, the size of the booth of Google, Amazon, Microsoft, we are becoming really huge, and you can see that the broadcast industry is really one of their main targets nowadays.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, a few months ago, 1 year ago, in fact, we started to collaborate with our main customer that were interested to go to the cloud. So we select 8 of them, and we started a proof of concept with them, and this is what we presented during the NAB.
Brilliant.
The cloud, we put all our solution into the cloud, so for them to see that and to test them, so it's available, it's something working.
Mm-hmm. And how has that actually gone for you as a business? Has it made quite a substantial change to how the business model works?
Costs?
Yes. We just announced a partnership with Microsoft Azure during the NAB.
Okay.
So we are still working the model, but also we need the cloud here in South Africa to be able to start to move into a commercial model.
Sure.
But in Europe, in the US, you have already this, and we expect by the end of the year or next year to be able to propose this also in this region.
Fantastic.
That's really cool. And I'm sorry if you're hearing the noise. It's a noisy place. It's a noisy, bright lights. It's a pretty cool thing to do.
I think they've just lined up the on-stage music for Mike. So, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Shirt off, stage on.
Keeping my clothes on today, guys. I've got a body for podcasting.
Now, so just some interesting things around Avid and the company. I mean, you guys have got, Avid's got over 200 patents. That's the couple that they own in terms of, that's how they've been innovating in their technology spaces. They've got 2 Oscars, is that right?
Yes,
still 2 Oscars?
Yes.
Do you have one anymore in the meantime?
Just for our product, because like I said, for 100% of the movie produced, which are selected and which are nominated as Oscar winners are made on Media Composer, our tools.
Okay, and you've won 14 Emmys. So we had Ross video in here earlier, and they were talking about how they actually helped produce those shows, the Emmys and the Oscar shows, with their live graphics. But the fruits of those awards are actually because of the production coming out of Avid Software. So,
wow.
I mean, we've got some big hitters here. It's just because it's in Joburg doesn't mean it's a small show. We've got the highlights of all the global partners all in one place, which is why MediaTek really is the great place to be, which is why we're proud to be part media partners here as well. But I mean, these are the guys that we get to rubberneck with, and it's great to say, hey, we're actually socializing with the guys at Avid, seeing the front lines of new innovation, new technology, new collaboration. And I think it's incredible. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for your time.
No, thank you so much.
Nice to meet you.
And as one door opens, the next door closes. And okay. Thomas Libreton from Avid, we'll catch up in Amsterdam. And
thank
we'll
you.
Chat
yes,
soon.
Yes, yes.
Excellent. Keep well.
Thanks, guys. So
guys.
For everyone who's just joined us, please remember to follow us on @Futurology Show. And when you go to the podcast, iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating if you love the show, and share. We're tweeting at the moment. We're tweeting a lot about what's happening at the show, our guests. It's been absolutely fantastic. You know what? The best part about this whole show for me is how happy Brett is.
I quite agree. He's like a kid in a candy store.
Literally,
really
this
is
a candy store.
It is proper fun.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is, like, I grew up in this industry, and I think that's one of the fun things is, like, growing up in SD and seeing that change from SD standard definition to high definition cameras.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great thing is. I mean, I grew up with my dad doing radio productions. I know what it's like to splice tape. Mm. I mean, today's
what is tape?
What is tape?
What is
the thing that you have to wind up with a pencil every now and again? Every time. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The dawn of technology has just it's gotten better, and it's exponentially improving over time, and it's really great to see that these global partners are actually adopting the change in the world to provide better services and technology.
Absolutely. So tell me, of all the stuff that you've seen today, Brett, what is the thing that's really just actually blown your mind the most? I mean, what's the coolest, most wow factor?
I think the cool things are just the fact that the technology we've seen in gaming and the virtual spaces that we kind of have been high-level hypothetically talking about are actually being adopted today. Like, they're real mediums that people can start to use today. I mean, VR is such a great medium that even the Emmys are giving them awareness this year. So there are 6 VR content pieces that are being nominated for Emmys.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And that is really cool. All that's going to do is, it might be the beginning of this thing. I mean, VR is still very, very, very new. But to be recognized by the Emmys as a legitimate content for an experience. And I think that's what's really starting to happen is that immersion into content is becoming really important.
Yeah.
It's about not just this one-way communication of broadcast where we used to just sit and couch potato. I'm actually involved in the content I'm watching now. And I think that's what gets me really excited. Because
fantastic.
Coming from a digital space.
Is that not the whole trend of digital, right?
Yeah.
Is that we're linking these two worlds, online and offline, are becoming one. And it's more prevalent here than in most spaces. I've spent a lot of time with Schneider, and they do IoT sensors and electrics and all that kind of stuff, which is very much behind the scenes about simplifying. Whereas this show is going another step forward. It's saying, well, let's simplify and hide it, but then blow your mind away like you've never been blown away before in your life. Mike, and I'm talking about your wife here. He wasn't really listening, so
no,
I thought I'd take this
opportunity.
I was listening, and I'll tell you what I was actually thinking about. You speak about Moore's law and Ray Kurzweil's this pace of change, and it's happening at warp speed. And I think probably the most exciting thing then is the fact that this isn't about companies; it's about individuals creating content that they can actually make and change their world. Whether it's for their business, whether it's for them just hacking on YouTube or whatever it is, but your ability to become your own producer and build a fan base of stuff that is just actually in your world and your 1,000 true fans world is absolutely mind blowing and really cool. It's just it's becoming easier and easier. Listening to Thomas around the capacity of the tools he's got, I'm kind of like, but I'm still just on an iPhone taking a film and then loading it straight into YouTube, and
pictures.
It's good enough.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. I mean, a couple of years back, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I was firmly entrenched in the TV industry, the actual nuts and bolts and production of TV industry. And with the dawn of YouTube and showing us how media can be shared, we've got
we've got people actually starting to be content producers. But not only that,
yes,
they're being empowered to not only be a content producer, but also to be their own broadcaster. I mean,
yeah,
it's all in one now.
Yeah, I can have my own channel on YouTube and have more viewers than the local national broadcaster.
So you can. Clip Central is a beautiful example. So look at Gareth. He literally has a massive audience of his own.
Yes.
He's able to produce his own content, and he's able to broadcast all his own content.
On his terms.
Because of infrastructure brought about by technology.
Right? We've been able to scale it. This is leveling the playing field exactly like the internet did for media. It's doing it from a broadcasting point of view now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's phenomenal.
Exactly. It is phenomenal. And so our next guest is going to be Warwick Kearns from Action Gear. Now, if you haven't heard about Action Gear, it's an online, totally online store that sells all the greatest tech. So actiongear.co.za. It's at South Africa's leading e-commerce retailer in outdoor high-tech sporting gear. So if you've ever watched Red Bull TV or you've ever watched all these great things where they put cameras into amazing places to get amazing videos and all that stuff. I mean, you've seen GoPros, you've seen the drones. There's tons of drones flying around at MediaTek.
No, I've just seen those psychopaths flying down a mountain on a mountain bike
with a GoPro or a replay camera stuck to their head.
And then you watch the wipeouts and you see how serious it actually is.
Well, now
is.
You can be part of the wipeout. How cool is that?
No.
What, you strap yourself into the device and rolls you around?
Eventually, that's coming. Just in case you felt left out of the scapes and bruises. But yes, we have Warwick Kearns from Action Gear. Thanks for joining us, Warwick.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks, guys. Thanks for me.
Excellent. So again, I love this industry. I've been a part of this industry for a while, and we've had the privilege of working with Action Gear a couple of times in the past. But thanks for joining us. We've had Ross Video on the show so far, talking about gaming technology in broadcast spaces. We've had Avid Technologies coming through about crafting and content creation in the cloud. And you've joined us because it starts with a camera.
Yeah, somebody's got to create their content in the first place.
Exactly. And the nice thing
is, starts with a person, not the cameraman.
Come on.
Well, you can blink a lot of times. It doesn't get the content anywhere. Yeah. So if you've got a camera and the person to control it, it does help. Just like guns don't really kill people. You know, you kind of need the two to work.
But I've actually really missed dragging.
Yeah, so we're having a bit of nostalgia here because we were in the studio for the first time in a while. But the dawn of the drone and the dawn of the GoPro, getting smaller cameras into smaller places, have allowed a new type of content to be created.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know where your mind is going.
But we're thinking only you, Brett, would have something smaller going into smaller places.
But yes, you don't have to reply to every comment on the show, Warwick. But
back on point.
Yes.
I thought we were on point.
Squirrel minds,
So the GoPros and the drones and stuff, you know, it just makes content creation so much easier these days.
Yes.
You know, you can do most of it with your phone, but when you're on a mountain bike or jumping out of a plane, that's not going to cut it. So having a more screen camera is definitely the way to go.
Yeah.
And making content is actually so easy with your phones. Not only is it quick and easy to use, like the GoPro, they've now advanced it so much that from the time you pull it out your pocket to just tapping one button, it's already on and filming, and it just makes it so much quicker to get the shot, so you never miss the shot, you know? You
don't have to think, the Hero 5, right? I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, so the Hero 5 from GoPro, you know, it's got the quick capture button, so you just touch it once and it's already recording. And then touching it again puts it to sleep so you can put it back in your pocket. But that's just one of the features that just makes capturing content so easy. And then, of course, you can strap it on the GoPro. I've got their Karma drone. Otherwise,
EGR
Ranger drones, the Phantom, the Mavic, now the new Spark that's come out. It's just so easy.
Yeah.
And with all these devices, you know, I don't know, not many people know that you can actually just tap a button and stream live to YouTube at the same time.
Yeah. Are those drones that you literally, you're skiing down a hill and it's like following you, it's like connected to a point on your body.
Keep it at this angle, keep me in the frame.
And it follows you down the hill.
Yeah, so there's lots of what they call smart features, smart fly modes. So one of them is you can just say follow me and it actually follows your phone or the controller.
Yes.
Or you can, if you're filming somebody else on the screen, you can touch that person on the screen and it will make a block around them and then you say go. And wherever that person goes, the drone just chases him down the hill or up and over the mountain.
Not very good for paranoid people.
Yeah, probably.
I'm being followed all the time.
See my going, that's nice to follow.
Fantastic.
Follow me.
Fantastic. In fact, I do have a funny story about drones and fishing. You know, these guys use drones to take their lines right out to sea from the seashore.
Oh, that's cool.
Except that I didn't know how to use this drone. It was like a 20 grand drone. It didn't come back. It kept flying.
Yeah.
You must have some great stories about that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we've had guys where they buy the drone today and they phone us tomorrow saying something happened. And more often than not, it's just they didn't read the manual properly. But these things are getting smarter and smarter. So now the new models, the DJI drones, all the new ones, when they fly further away from you, it calculates how much time and battery it needs to get back to you.
Okay. So cool.
If it knows that it's going too far and the battery's coming running down, it warns you.
Yeah.
And if you don't bring it back, it actually says, I'm going to take control of myself, and it starts flying back and will come and land back where it took off from, so that you never have the case where it just drops out the sky.
Yeah. I have enough battery to get home.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is what it calls. It says go to home mode.
Go to home.
Yeah. But how complicated are these drones? Sorry, Brett.
No, that's cool.
I mean, it's almost like...
More complicated than us.
Yeah, well, if you go and buy a Cirrus car, you should really go and have an advanced driving course, you know, if you're in one of these sporty cars. I mean, do you need to train guys on how do these drones work, or are they simple enough kind of plug and play? Like a MacBook.
It's tricky. Like,
could Mike use it?
We get some guys.
Could Mike use it?
Yeah. We get some guys who, before they buy like the 20 grand or the 30 grand drone, they'll buy a 500 grand drone. And those things are rubbish. I mean, they're good for their purpose.
Sorry, those guys, you're looking at him.
Yeah. But you'll find that thing's really difficult to fly.
Yeah.
And then you get like the Phantom and stuff, and you launch, there's a button to say launch. And then when it's launched, it doesn't move until you tell it to move because it locks on GPS.
Yeah.
Even if the wind's howling, it'll just fight. It'll like stay in one spot. So flying these drones is actually so easy. It's like a remote control car on the ground.
Now,
just you've got an extra dimension of up and down. It's really, really easy. So we do offer courses like on Action Gear. You can reach out to us and we'll like do licensing courses, or we'll do a starter course, or even if you just want to come to office and we'll show you how it works. But it is really nothing that you should be worried about or be afraid of. It's
you know
really
what? You've just lined this up. We're taking this whole studio to your office and we're going to do a whole podcast.
I think we should definitely do something like that. We'll definitely come around and do some
buzzes. Are the drones going to come pick this up?
Yeah.
We just hook the tube and off we go.
Yeah,
really? We'll do it right now.
That's cool. Well, we've got these great shoes.
You better wait first, Brett.
We've got these great shoes from Dr. Craig, your man crush, Dr. Craig Nozzle. We've got our new shoes. We can walk and talk because that's our show, and we can be followed.
We can be followed.
That's cool.
So let's do that.
Should we try that?
Can we get followed from the front?
You can. Yeah. Easy.
I'm now
some of our better angles.
So I've got a question. I mean, how much are you clued up on the regulatory side of things?
100%.
I read so much about it with the aviation kind of regulations and what you can do or can't do. I'd love to give us a bit of a summary for the guys who are a little bit worried about that.
Yeah, sure. No problem. So, you know, at Action Gear, this is what we live and breathe. So we know this stuff inside out, and we love to give advice because, you know, we don't want people flying by the airport. It's just not clever. So the rules are actually quite funny, because if you're a hobbyist, so if you just want to go down to the coast and fly and like take pictures of your beach house or something, that's no problem. You don't need a license. As soon as you're using it for commercial gain, so you want to take photos of real estate, or you want to survey your farm or anything like that, and you're charging a fee for your service, now you need to have a license. So you can go through Action Gear. We can book you to get your remote pilot's license, which costs about 20 grand.
Wow.
And it's a bit of a theory course and practical, and once you get that, you get a license. So the trick is that what a lot of people don't realize is that you're still actually not allowed to properly operate. You still need to go one step further and get a remote operator certificate. It's an ROC.
Oh, okay.
And you've got to apply with the CAA, and that's it's a long schlep, but only then can you actually fly commercially. But you need to...
Wow. It's a bit like a boat license. I've just been through it with my boat.
Yeah, these guys are really, really strict.
You've got to get your certificate, and it takes a year to do.
So if you can imagine, in aviation, it's much more serious because they've got their aircrafts, and like the CAA, all they're worried about is the passengers and the aircrafts that are in the sky.
Yeah.
Because if a helicopter goes down, not only does a pilot get injured or worse, but so do the people on the ground. So a boat, you could crash into a rock, and that sucks. But in an airplane scenario, that's really, really strict.
It's pretty serious.
A lot of people view the CAA as being really, like, too strict. But the fact is that the CAA the South African CAA are actually the world leaders in this field.
That's
everybody else looks to our CAA.
Interesting. Well, if you think about the spaces these cameras are going, I mean, these drones are going. Go to a concert. Everybody in the Golden Circle is now at risk of a drone coming down on them.
No, and you don't want a drone hitting your head.
No, that would ruin my concert.
It wouldn't be good.
No,
I remember
kind of buzz.
I remember reading that on a per capita basis, South Africa has the second most airports or landing strips to America.
Wow.
I don't know about that, but there's a lot of them. And
that's quite interesting, right? Well, you can see why our regulators are quite strict.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, it's cutting edge, I guess.
I'll tell you something interesting quickly, is that the DJI drones know where every aerodrome and airport is. And just to avoid somebody being a moron and flying by an airport, if you're within 7 km of an airport, your drone won't take off.
Okay. Wow.
Which is cool, because then that at least saves
kind of going and flying by an airport.
Yeah, like me. Yeah.
So I actually got a friend in the UK. He got into the drone business a couple of years ago. And the business that he's in is trafficking the drones.
Say again?
So building like cloud-based solutions
pushing
to be able
basically.
To... traffic.
Air traffic
so
control.
You have an air traffic control kind of environment. I'd love to know your view on that.
So we're speaking to some technologies coming out of the States, and we're talking to the CAA about implementing it. Yeah, they're very interested because of the fact that the biggest fear for the CAA is that something happens.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it would
they're
be lucky if nothing does happen, but the best way to do it would be to put a little chip in every single consumer drone. So when it takes off, the other helicopters and everybody else knows that that's there.
Which
it
makes
it appears as a blip on their radar and they can avoid it. But the technology that we're looking at bringing in is going to not only put it on as a blip on the map, but the drones will also know where the other drones are, and they won't be allowed to go within 5 meters of each other.
Okay.
So if two guys have done
so if you're doing a drone concert, you're screwed. You know,
that would have to be a different type of drone.
Can I take that a step further, and maybe it's beyond the conversation here, because there's serious issues of privacy. Because if I'm suntanning naked in my back garden and you come over,
which Mike does,
yeah, I do it often, yeah.
And somebody really has that kind of
kick. But seriously, someone comes over with a drone and starts taking pictures. It's a very serious issue.
Yeah, the zoom isn't very good though.
Trust me.
No, I'm worried more about the psychological damage to the person getting the footage. What are you talking about? I think we need to get back to a point, sir. We're talking about how technology is advancing technology. You guys are cray-cray to the max.
That was beautiful.
You'd have to get really close, yeah.
Yeah,
with the zoom lens.
I don't know about that.
So, I mean, we've got a use case of a DJI Inspire 1 going to Greenland in -5 degree average temperature. And the drone, like, not really operating to its fullest potential because the batteries don't have battery warmers on them. Now, these are things that wouldn't ordinarily be thought of until such time as this extreme device has gone to an extreme condition.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, I don't ask questions. I just make statements, and then I would rely on the client to actually yes, to say something. But, I mean, you must have heard about tons of use cases where if you had a piece of technology, you'd be like, hey, you know what would be really useful now is to have that.
Yeah. I'm just like, you know, these drones are getting pushed further and further in terms of the capabilities and what people want them to do. So every time there's a scenario where it can't do something, that's where the manufacturers are looking at an opportunity and saying, let's do that. But like, the applications are really like mind-blowing. In fact, the drone industry is being called the fourth industrial revolution, or the fourth revolution.
Not just for filming and camera
not just
for deliberation
and filming, but if you think about search and rescue, farming, assessing farming, like a lot of South African farmers are adopting this technology to use the drones to fly over their farms at a regular intervals. And it comes when it lands. It gives the farmer so much information about the health of the crop and if there's water pooling and all these things. If you look at farm security, these guys, a lot of farmers are reaching out to us to get thermal drones. So now if they suspect somebody's outside, they don't need to go out there. They just send the drone out and they can see if there's somebody hiding in the millie field or something like that.
But there's that startup, I'm not sure, it's somewhere in Africa where they're using drones to deliver drugs. Is it blood?
It's blood transfusion.
It's blood. But you can't physically get to these locations. Doctors
or it takes you an hour and a half, 2 days even sometimes
by
truck.
Drones. Straight across, easy.
And if you think about an emergency situation, if there's floodwaters and there's like a mother and a child stuck on a roof,
give them
you can send
jackets.
Them a bottle of water and send them give them a life jacket.
Yeah.
And it's really incredible what these things are already doing. And if you fast forward 5 years, 10 years, when you order a pizza, it's going to arrive by drone.
It is.
Which is really cool. And then if you go a little bit further, people are going to have their own like personal drones to get from here to Sandton. Mm. Or, you know, if you're traveling less than half an hour just because of battery life, you can just hop in your drone and fly. And I think Uber will even cross over that.
An Uber drone. That's super cool, right?
Yeah. That'd be cool. You guys would arrive on time.
Okay. Says
the guy
who arrived 15 minutes late on his first podcast.
I'd arrive on time. Ubiquitous technology. I'm able to do it wherever I am. It's cool. Excuse the buzz. But thanks for joining us on the show. I mean, unfortunately, we're doing a 15-minute session with everybody today, and not enough to get into, but we'd love to have you back on the show, maybe talk about drones and where it's all going.
Sure.
Before you leave, what is the coolest thing at the moment for you at MediaTek? Yeah. Or at Action Gear.
I just walked in the door, but from here I'm going to see what drones are available. You know, we just love what this technology is doing in all spheres of industry, and even if you look at media in particular, like what it can do, the angles that it can help people get, and just in terms of content creation, which you guys asked in the beginning, creating content from these angles and like with the gimbals that are on it and the quality of the cameras, it's just mind-blowing, and how that's advancing every single day, every month, every year. It's just getting so much better.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for joining us on the show. We'll be in touch. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Fantastic, man.
So, guys, that's MediaTek. We've had a number of guests in the show at the moment. We're coming to the really end of the show.
I mean, my mind's racing, by the way.
Is it?
I'm kind of thinking, you know, those camera angles.
Yeah.
You're loading everything directly onto the cloud.
Yeah.
It's being auto-produced. It's then being fed into a VR environment with robotic cameras that could either be connected to robotic arms or flown through drones. Or, I mean, this world... It's going to be difficult to differentiate between the real and the virtual.
I was just going to say the next technology evolution is going to be the technology that defines what's actually real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see, in the news recently, Elon Musk is waving the flag, saying AI needs to be regulated. Guys, it's going to get away from us. Beware. So we need to have a chat around, we touched on regulation now about drones and stuff, but regulation around technology is so great that it's advancing so fast. But are we actually are we looking further enough ahead to see what the consequences of our actions are today?
Yeah, it's a difficult one.
And it's definitely a discussion that I think we need to get into.
Exponential regulation.
But now AI.
It's exactly this.
Yeah. It has to keep up with the exponential increase of technology. But now we've got drones, these drone swarms. Plug in AI. Now you've got these robots doing camera work. And a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, we're going to have this iRobot type thing. But, I mean, let's not get dystopian about it. Let's look at the utopian side of it. We've got to wrap up. I'm loving the fact. I can't wait to get out the studio so I can go run around MediaTek. It's really cool to be here. If you haven't been to MediaTek, it's worth a visit. Pull into MediaTek. Check it out. Go check out this podcast. If you've only just tuned in now, this has been a great thing. We've had some great guests. Check us out.
I'm incredibly excited. I, too, going to run around here, have fun. Everybody, I'm going to say this for Brett. It's at Futurology Show. Please follow us and give us a 5-star rating, Mike.
Yeah,
thank you. It's been a fun podcast today, and it's been a fantastic show. So, and Brett, I'm so happy you're in your element.
I'm in my element. And until next time, this has been the Futurology Show. Signing out. Cheers, guys.
This is CliffCentral.com.